Well, good morning. It is a joy to be here. I am only 25, so whatever he says, I'm only 25. No, we know that is not true either. But yes, I have been in Puerto Rico for 14 years. For those of you who don't know me, I grew up in Wisconsin, and when I was 5 or 6 years old, I received Christ as my Savior in a vacation Bible school. I'm a real big go-getter for the vacation Bible schools because I know that they are used many times and children can hear the gospel and they receive Christ during those weeks of Bible school. And then as Pastor said, I was always, loving the missionary stories. I wanted to go to a foreign country and you have the witch doctors chasing the missionary and come back tomorrow and we'll tell you what happens. And, oh yeah, I gotta be there. I want to be a missionary. And so as a child's dream, it was something that I always wanted to do. But also the Lord has his way of leading and working in our lives. And as the song, as the hymn we just sung, all the way my Savior leads me. And I know that he does lead us. Each day, each step of our way, he does lead us. And I'm so thankful for him because I'd be completely lost without him. And I went on to Northland Baptist Bible College in northern Wisconsin. And in my junior year of college, I went to Puerto Rico on a mission trip. And I loved it there, and I wanted to go back there. And so I finished my year of college, and I called the missionary lady, Miss Akins, I'm finished with school. Can I come to Puerto Rico? And she said, Paula, you just wait until God tells you or God leads you, because you might come to Puerto Rico because you like the people, because you like the culture, you had a good time here. But people change, and all the circumstances change. And if you're not sure that God wants you here, then you'll pack up your bags and you'll go home. And that was very, very wise counsel on her part. And so I was at home working for a year, doing many different jobs, working in a preschool, staying overnight with some twins while their single mom was working, working in an elderly home. I was doing, like 4 jobs. And people in my community, they knew me, and they were like, Paula, what is this? You went to school for 4 years, and you're just working these bebop jobs, and what are you going to do? And I'm seeking the Lord and waiting for the Lord's guidance on what he has for me. And so that year was very struggling, very hard for me, because you are kind of wondering what you're going to do, and you're not sure when God is going to show you. But in May of that year, my pastor was preaching, and he was preaching about Peter and how that Peter got out of the ship, and he took a step of faith. And at the same time, Paula, get out of that ship. And take a step of faith and go towards Puerto Rico and I will lead you. And so I went forward that morning and I told my pastor, I told my church, that I felt that God was leading me to Puerto Rico, and I wanted the Lord to open the door so wide that I would know, or that he would close it so tight. I didn't want to jump out of the boat and say, this is what I'm going to do no matter what. I didn't want to be that way, but I did want the Lord to show me his will and his purpose for my life. And it has been a wonderful 14 years. I arrived in the field in 96, and I was the first year I was studying at the Bible College in order to learn language. Supposedly, I knew Spanish when I went. I don't think so. It was like 3 months, and I thought for sure I was deaf because, it's a lot different learning in the book than it is actually talking to somebody. So I was like 3 months trying to listen and to understand what they were saying. But the Lord has blessed him, and I thank the Lord for his working. But let me just show you some pictures of the last 4 years, and I'll give you an idea of what the Lord has been doing. Well, as you know, I am Paula Veneta, a missionary in Puerto Rico through Baptist World Mission. Whoops, I lost my arrow. I'm not very high tech here, so let's see how we do. Oh, here. Okay. Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the U.S. It has now become the governor that has been elected just on Tuesday is a governor for statehood. So whether this will be the term of becoming the 51st state, I don't really know. But it's a territory of the U.S. Puerto Rico is only 30 miles wide and 110 miles long. Now, that is not to say that you can drive from the north side to the south side in a half hour. The roads are still very windy, and they are long, and there's no way you can make it. But as far as, the actual size is 30 by 110. Puerto Rico, the language is Spanish, of course, and Catholicism is the main religion. I was working first 10 years in Caguas. I was working with the children's ministries. doing Bible clubs and doing ladies ministries there. But you know, the Lord really works in lives. There was a family that they didn't, the children were not able to come to Bible club because they had ballet and they had sports on Saturdays. But the mother had said that I could come to her house and I could teach the children at home. And so I would teach the children the Bible lessons at home. And she told me, Paula, you can come and you teach my kids because I want them to know about God, but I'm Catholic and I'm not going to change. That's fine. So I went and I would teach the kids. But I'd always see her kind of around the corners watching and listening. And one day she started asking a lot of questions. And shortly after, Sarah got saved. And then her husband also got saved. And they are faithful in the church. Anna is another one that she was a neighbor in my neighborhood. We'd go walking. And I met her one day. And she said, oh, I want to learn English. And I'm like, I want to learn Spanish. But we were... And what is better textbook can you use than to use the Bible? So we would read through scripture verses. And one day I said, Anna, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? Oh, well, I'm a good person. I said, Anna, are you as holy as God is holy? No. Are you as just as God is just? No. Are you as perfect as God is perfect? No. Then how do you think you're going to get to heaven? Well, Paula, if you look at it that way, how is anybody going to get to heaven? I said, Anna, in ourselves, it's impossible. But in Christ, we can have eternal life in Christ. And so Anna, she put her faith in Christ shortly after that, and her husband also was saved. Glory B was the girl that was here the last time I was here in 2003. She sends her greetings. She remembers the church here at Galley Road very well. And she said, Paula, please tell them all. I said, hi. She has been the last couple of weeks looking into internet and checking out some colleges here in the States. And Lord willing, she'll be coming to Indiana in August to attend Hiles Anderson because she wants to learn English. She wants to get some counseling studies, and she wants to continue her architect studies. So she says, Paula, please tell the churches that I appreciate their prayers. She's a girl that's here down in the corner. And you know what? If you know Gloria V's history of depression, very isolated, very quiet, very shamed looking, and how God has freed her and how God has changed her, she is a blessing. So please do pray for Glory, and she does send her greetings. But praise the Lord, many of the people in Caguas are still serving the Lord. This is another family that was in the church there in Caguas. Their daughter came with me to Bible club. She would come with me, and the mother one day, oh, Paula, can I go with you to church? And the mother and I had many conversations, and I said yes. And so she started coming to church with me, and again, shortly after, she also received Christ. And then her husband also got saved shortly after. And they are very strong in the church right now. And so I praise the Lord for how he's working. And, you know, sometimes you forget some people who the Lord has used you to work in their lives. For instance, this young girl, Stefania. Does my arrow show? No, it doesn't. Okay, the girl down in the corner. She said she came and helped me at Bible school this past summer. She went with me to a couple different churches, and she was my helper. And I said, Stefania, when did you get saved? Well, Paula, don't you remember that I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 5 or 6 and you led me to Christ? Oh, no, I didn't remember that. And, you know, sometimes I think the Lord allows you to forget in order for you not to get so big-headed and, oh, well, look what all I did. And but it's only what God does. And so I praise the Lord how he's working in lives and has changed lives there in Caguas. But in 2004, my ministry moved from Caguas to Aibonito. Aibonito, the legend has it that Aibonito, when the Spaniards first came to Puerto Rico, and then they came up over the hill, Aibonito! Which means how beautiful. And Aibonito is a very beautiful town. It's in the mountains. Because it's in the mountains, the flowers there they flourish with the coolness of the air. And so it's also known as the town of flowers. And January, the first week of July, they have the Festival of Flowers, and people come from all over the island to buy flowers or to trade flowers. And so our town there in Aibonito is very well known for the town of flowers. Also, the encyclopedia calls it the town of the refrigerator because it does get chilly. Now, you're going to laugh because our chili might be 50 degrees at night. But 50 degrees can get chilly when you don't have a heater of any sort, you know. But that's not always, it's not always that cool. But it gets down in the 60s very nicely at night during the winter season. When it's raining, raining, then the house gets very damp, and there's just no way to get that dampness out, no way to get that coolness off of the cement house. But I really, really enjoy it there in Aibonito. I have been living in a house, renting a house that has two bedrooms, and during the school year, usually I have college students that come down. College girls will stay with me during the weekends and help us in ministry. It has allowed me to have girls stay with me during the summer on mission trips. But I praise the Lord for my house and for the provisions that He has given me there in Aibonito. I have two dogs, those of you who are animal lovers. I have Kanika and Timba. They are very good companions, and they keep me company, but that can be a real pest at times as well. I have some very good neighbors. I thank the Lord for my neighbor Jackie. She had received the Lord a couple of years ago, and please pray for her. She's really struggling with some Jehovah's Witnesses issues. Also, my neighbors Julie and Annie, they are Catholic. They come to my house for special activities that I have at my home. And Emily is a little girl who comes to Bible Club. We've had many discussions with her parents, and she has put her faith in Christ, as well as Jose Luis. Jose Luis is a neighbor that lives like five houses down the street, and Pastor is now doing discipleship with him, as he has made a profession of faith in the campaña, in the evangelistic meetings that we had last spring. Pastor, this is a church that I'm working in Iglesia Bautista Fundamental de Aibonito, the Fundamental Baptist of Aibonito. The church has been going, I think, in like 20 years or so. Started out with a missionary, and then another pastor took it. And right now we have Pastor Angel Espada. He is from Aibonito, and he is a missionary as well from International Baptist Mission out of Arizona. His wife is from Nebraska, and so there's always a lot of comments about all that. But they are a blessing. He's a real man of prayer, and he's leading the church in prayer, and we're seeing God answer prayer and seeing God change lives. Children's Bible Club we have every Friday night, and that is a very big ministry of evangelizing the children, challenging the children to grow, helping them to learn the Word of God, how to defend their faith. And so often, you know, we think that children are just children and they're not going to grasp very much. But I have come to see and understand that if you can reach a child and you can get them to remember who God is, remember that God loves them and God has a purpose for them, that might be the only thing that will carry them through life, because there's so many things pulling at them and there's so much turmoil. When we analyzed our children in Children's Church and Bible Club, we came to the realization when we think we only have one family that have a mother and father in the home, and they are in drugs. The rest of the kids are with the grandparents, they're with a mom, with many boyfriends, and so very unstable homes. But if the children can learn from a very young age that God loves them, that God is always with them, and that God has a purpose for them, and most of all of salvation, then that might be something that will carry them through life. Also, we have Children's Church on Sunday mornings. I pick up the kids and bring them. They have a little bit of problem that a lot of American kids have. Okay, in Spanish they say que se pega la sábana. They get stuck to their sheets in the morning. So to get them to come out on Sunday mornings to church, I bet none of you have that problem with your kids getting up for school or getting up for church, right? Que se pega la sábana. So on Sunday mornings, you know, I usually give them a call, and I'm calling many parents and waking up many parents. Are your kids going to church today? Están durmiendo todavía. You know, they're still sleeping. Well, are you going to wake them up? Are they coming? Are they not coming? And so I'm an alarm clock, probably a real pest to many families on Sunday mornings. But I thank the Lord for the Children's Church and the ministry to, again, reinforce God's Word and show them that God does offer eternal life, that God does offer peace that passes all understanding, and can give them direction and will be desires to be their shepherd to help them through life. A big challenge this year has been teaching the ladies' Sunday school class. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm restricted because, well, I'm not married, I don't have children, I don't have grandchildren, I don't have the workplace, and so how am I going to relate to the ladies? But the Lord made it clear to me one day that it's not relating to them and the status, because each one of us are walking with the Lord. Each one of us need to grow in the Lord. Each one of us need to know more of God's Word. So it's not a matter of what status I am and what status they are. And it has been a real blessing teaching them. We have gone through the The Lord is my shepherd. We've gone through the Good Shepherd. We've gone through the fruit of the Spirit, the women of the Bible. Very good studies, and I personally have grown so much and learned so much through teaching the ladies. And it's really encouraging now as I talk to a dear friend. And I always, you know, trying to challenge her and encourage her with God's word. And she says, Paula, I was just talking to my friend the other day, and she was all worried and she was all stressed out because of this and this and this. And I told her, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I told her this one and I told her that one because those are the ones you always tell me. I said, great, great. Okay, you're learning. That's wonderful. Keep going. And so it's really a blessing when you see them, you know, light up and they're starting to understand. And, you know, because, again, God's word is a living word, and we can trust it and we can depend on it for every situation that we have. Also, discipleship is a very big part of my life, ministry there. We take the new believers when they come into church and they receive Christ. We'll go to their homes and we will give them a discipleship, a Bible study. And it's really encouraging because many times, you know, maybe people come to church because they have to, or because there's a potluck after church, or because of this or because of that. And so then they come and they may not really be paying attention. But when you go to their home and they have their book out, they have their Bible out, that's like, wow, I guess this person is really ready to learn. And so I really, really enjoy having those individual discussions, individual Bible studies with them. And many times there's many questions that come up that probably would never come up in a Sunday school hour or would never come up in a Bible study. And so we can, you know, have those discussions. And sometimes I go home with more homework of, okay, let me find an answer for this question that she has given me. But it's a real blessed time of seeing the ladies grow in that way. Also, there's always other special activities with the Christmas, the holidays. I'm having different activities at my house. Last Christmas, we went out to the town. We went to San Juan, and poor Aybonito, they are considered Aybonito los jíbaros, the hillbillies. And we acted like it. When we went to San Juan, they didn't know how to run the machines. We didn't know where we were going, and we were so giddy and things like that. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. But again, you know, just sharing with the ladies and being able to encourage them in his word and being able to let the love of Christ and the life of Christ shine through our lives. Vacation Bible School in the summer is a big part of my life as well. Usually I have 3 to 4 weeks of Bible school. Many of the churches are small. Maybe the pastor doesn't have the know-how. Maybe he doesn't have the help that he needs. And I'm still going to the local churches and help them with the Vacation Bible Schools. Already for this summer, we are planning 2. And I know that there's others that are going to be calling to see if I can help them. But again, I know that the Lord used Vacation Bible School to change my life, to change my eternal destiny. And we go into Vacation Bible School with the goal of teaching the gospel and that every child can know and understand the plan of salvation. Over the years, I've been able to work in several different towns. Of course, I'm living in Caguas. I was ministering in Caguas and now living in Aybonito. And the last couple of years, I've been helping in the church in Calle, Santa Isabel, Juana Diaz, and Ponce. Again, a time to be able to encourage the pastors and be able to be a blessing to them and their church. Because the churches are small, to be able to get the children to come into church, usually through the Vacation Bible School, then they can have continual contact and be able to do follow-up with the parents and be able to minister in that way. Camp is also another big part in the summer. We have a junior high camp and a senior high camp. And it's a blessing time to go and spend the whole week with the kids, be able to really teach them, be encourage them, bring them away from the influences of the world and set them apart for a little while and really be able to instruct them in a godly way. And I know that, again, in my own life, how the Lord used camp to challenge me, to keep me focused. And there's many decisions that I made in my life during the week of camp. And so we go with that purpose of challenging young people to make decisions of salvation and dedication to the Lord. Over the summer, I've had many opportunities of different ladies coming, young girls coming in the summer and working with me. You all recognize one of them in this picture. One of your girls came down a couple summers ago and she worked with me. It's a blessed time to see the young girls as they come and they desire to serve the Lord. They're seeking the Lord's guidance and his direction in their life. And they follow me in ministry, help me at Bible school, help me at camp, help me make visuals. Whatever we're doing, they go along with me. And it's such a wonderful time to see how God's working and how God leads in their lives. I have some, this past summer, oh no, I'm jumping ahead of myself. The Word of God has been planted in the lives of many, many people. I always find it encouraging when the children take my visuals and they retell my stories, or they take the song visuals and they re-sing the songs and they want everybody to sing with them. And I know that God's Word has been planted in their hearts. I know that the Word of God has been planted in the lives of many adults. And we are just waiting for God to bring forth fruit and keep watering that seed and keep praying for that seed that it will bring forth fruit. This past summer, there was a youth group that had come from Delaware, and after church, the pastor's wife came to me and she said, "Paula, were you a counselor at a camp in Colorado?" I said, "Yes, you were my counselor." And she said, "Paula, that year at camp, I was in the middle of making some big decisions, and I was really struggling." And she said, "The Lord used you to guide me in making some decisions." And I'm like, "What in the world did I say?" Because again, I didn't remember counseling her. I didn't remember, you know, challenging her. And it was such a blessing to see that now she's in Delaware and a pastor's wife. And I said, "Lord, you know, may you ever guard my mouth to challenge, to exhort, to encourage," because so often we don't know the people that are passing by, what kind of circumstances they are passing in. And so what a blessing to see how that the work of the Lord is not in vain and how that His Word does not return void. As everywhere, people need to know Christ, and they need to know Him as Lord and Savior. It's not just knowing about Him. I have a lady. I ask you to be praying for a lady. Her name is My Lady. In English, that's My Lady. In Spanish, it's Milady. But please be praying for her. She lives in Chicago. She's a Puerto Rican, but we have had many conversations by phone, and she says, "I want to know more. I want to know more." I said, "Milady, it does not matter how much you know about God. If you don't know Him, you will be as condemned as anyone who does not know Him. Because knowing God does not so save you. It's having a personal relationship with God." And on Tuesday when I talked with her, she was very, very close to making a decision. And so please, please pray for Milady, that she also will come to know Christ as her Savior. And because that is the whole purpose, you know. God has left us here for the purpose of bringing others to Christ. So I do pray that you will be praying for me for the salvation of the lost, who I come in contact with. Also for God's continual protection. Those of you who are waiting for snow, you hunters are waiting for snow and you're wanting snow for hunting, but please wait until I get out of here. I don't want to see any snow while I'm traveling, especially not in the mountains. I went through the mountain pass of the Teton Mountains up in Wyoming, and snow and brakes that were kind of bouncing like this when I pushed the brake, and I was like 15 feet before I could stop. Lord, this is not good. I do not like this. So I praise the Lord for His protection, and please do continue to pray for me. We'll be going home to Wisconsin. We should be home in Wisconsin on Friday. And then I have some churches there by home that I'll be visiting. And going out east, it's public transportation, so I don't really worry about that because, well, if there's a snowstorm, the bus isn't going. If the roads are a little bit bad, well, the bus will just get us there. But this trip out here west has been a real blessing, and I've seen God watch over us and protect us. And then also for the needed financial support. Right now I am at like 83%, so I'm lacking 17% of my support. That 100% was set like 2 years ago, and you all know that in 2 years prices have gone up on gas, prices have gone up on food and appliances, and so I am just trusting the Lord that He will raise up my support. And Galley Road, you all have been a very faithful church to me and to the Lord's work, and I really thank you. I know that you have had your trials, and I know that God is still refining in the refining process here, but your faithfulness has been a real blessing, and I praise the Lord for your faithfulness in supporting and your faithfulness in praying, and that's only because of you all, and we know that God has rewards for you laid up in heaven as well. You may not be able to go, but you're sending, and God does bless that, and I thank you for that. If it's okay, I will sing a quick song, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor. Okay? This song is called Stirred But Not Changed. And it's a convicting song because you can't sing it if you're not saying it. And so I have to actually analyze myself before I sing it. But it sounds something like this. Oftentimes my heart's been stirred by the things that I have heard about so many who have never heard God's word. Though the tears would fill my eyes, I'll so soon I'd realize that though my heart's been stirred, my life has not been changed. I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost who need to hear. I'm so tired of being stirred that His coming is so near. I'm so tired of being stirred till I cry bitter tears. I'm so tired of being stirred and not being changed. Have I heard it for so long that it's just another song? Has the story lost its thrill that I once knew? Lord, give me a burden that's so strong that it will last when my tears are gone. I'm tired of what I've been, Lord, make me over again. I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost who need to hear. I'm so tired of being stirred that His coming is so near. I'm so tired of being stirred till I cry bitter tears. I'm so tired of being stirred and not being changed. This time, Lord, change me. Let Your work begin just now. This time, Lord, change me. Please change me somehow. This time, Lord, change me. Let Your work begin anew. For I'm so tired of being stirred and not being changed. I'm so tired of being stirred. Please change me now.
Tired of being stirred and not being changed? Did you know that the gospel is a limited time offer? Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew 16 and verse number 24. We want to thank Paula for bringing us that report. And now we know there are a bunch of people in Puerto Rico we need to be praying for. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into Your word this morning, I pray that You would press upon us the urgency of receiving the gospel, and Lord, also the urgency of being Your ambassadors. Lord, to understand that after we're saved, You leave us in this world for a purpose, that we might be Your ambassadors, and You give unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And Lord, sometimes we've been slothful and have not considered that when You come, You'll come quickly. There'll be no warning. And Lord, the opportunity for men to be saved as they can be saved freely today will be taken away, and a terrible time of Jacob's trouble will come upon this world. Lord, teach us to work while it's yet day, for the night's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the disciples of Jesus had nearly gotten to the place where they thought that the ministry that he had was mundane, and they had been hearing over and over that this man is not the Christ, he's not the Messiah, his miracles are false, he's just a little man, and they've come and they've gone, and why should we pay any heed to him? His disciples had nearly gotten that attitude. And Jesus, knowing all things and realizing this, prepares them for the Mount of Transfiguration. But before he takes them up there, he reminds them of the urgency and the pressing need of salvation while it's yet today. For today, while it's called today, is the day of salvation, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And he brings forth in verse 26 the thought that what is a man profited if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And sometimes we forget this world is a transitory thing, that this world, as you see around us, will not always stand. But the day is quickly coming when it'll come to an end. And I think his disciples had gotten to the place where they started to wonder. They started to wonder, as others have said, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things remain just as they were since the beginning of the world. Tell that to somebody that saw the first raindrop fall in Noah's day. Tell that to somebody that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah on that fateful day when the smoke went up from that place as the smoke of a furnace. No, things don't go always on as they always have. Change is the rule, not the exception. And it was so before the president-elect said so. What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? An eternal soul as over and against a transitory world that soon enough shall pass. What shall a man give? Well, the disciples started to wonder too. So Jesus tells them in verse number 27 as a reminder, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. You see, when he came the first time, he came in through the servant's door. When he came the first time, he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, because the world had no room for him. And the scripture says that he's despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. I think we Christians sometimes get into that mode of thinking. Everything's been the same since I got saved. Fire's kind of gone out and the ashes are starting to get cool. Oh no, not if you got the real thing. Now if you get religion, that'll run out on you. Religion is a sorry thing to take to your deathbed. Religion will give you no comfort in the very day when you need it the most. I wouldn't count on religion, but you can count on Christ. And those disciples understood, or Jesus understood, that those disciples needed to know who he was. They saw him come in through the servant's door. They knew where he was born. They had accompanied with him in his ministry. But now it's time for them to understand that he's coming again. I'm sure they didn't grasp that idea right then, but it began to dawn on their soul as they stood out on Mount Olivet and saw him received up into glory. And the angel said, what are you standing around here wasting time for? There's a whole world out there that's lost and undone without Jesus Christ. This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall come again in like manner. And when he comes, he's going to come into a world that's not looking for him. He's going to come to a world that's not waiting for him. Are you looking for him? Are you waiting for him? Let's turn to Matthew 25 and verse number 31. I think because of the election season, a lot of us have gotten the idea that America needs change. It does. Not the kind of change we've been promised, the kind of change that says that abortion is murder and life begins at conception. The kind of change that says sodomy is a wicked perversion and it's evil and the scripture roundly condemns it. The kind of change that says our founding fathers were pretty smart when it came to understanding human nature, and so they gave us a form of government that was as difficult for human nature to overthrow as they could figure out how to make it. We need change. Do you realize that there's a stake for nations? Do you realize that the time in which you live is a limited time offer for nations too? Do you understand that in a millennial kingdom there'll be nations? Do you understand that when the new heavens and the new earth are with us, there'll be nations upon the earth? The question is, which nations? Most of us love the United States of America. I do. Love it with all my heart. And it's a wonderful thing that we have people in military service that would go out and defend our rights, that keep us free from the foreign invader. We owe them a great debt. But the time is coming when America will be weighed in the balances, and will it be found wanting? Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and He will, and when He does, it'll be sudden. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. You've probably heard a lot of messages preached on the sheep and the goats. It's not about individuals, it's about nations. If we love the United States of America, do we want our beloved country to be a sheep nation or a goat nation? That's something we ought to think about, and it's a limited time offer too. And let me say that if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you have no say in the matter. It's kind of like they say, you know, if you didn't vote, don't complain. Are you with us or are you against us? Do you want America to be a sheep nation or a goat nation? If you're not saved, you can't vote. The world is what it is, and it's not getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. And the day is coming when he that cometh will come quickly. Will our nation be watching? Turn with me quickly, if you will, to Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 1. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 1. Somebody would say, well, you know, the Bible is just a collection of myths and a tissue of fallacy. Really? I must say that it is the most cleverly contrived tissue of fallacy that I've ever seen, for everything that it predicts has invariably come to pass with unerring accuracy. Pity the nation that had rather listen to Gene Dixon than God Almighty. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. And it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon it back four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like the firing flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. There's a time of judgment coming. And maybe somebody would say, what is all this business of these four beasts? Who is the Ancient of Days? Who is the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands and cast upon the great metallic colossus that Daniel saw, or Nebuchadnezzar saw rather, and Daniel explained? Do you realize that there have been four great worldwide empires upon this earth, and only four? And that what we just read, if we take time to explain it, is so accurate that it's absolutely stunning. It explains the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Hellenistic Empire, and then finally the Roman Empire. And you know what? After the Roman Empire, then comes the Ancient of Days, and he comes quickly, and he comes without warning, and all of the nations are judged. And don't forget that nations are made up of people. Maybe there'd be somebody sitting here this morning and say, well, I must be okay because I'm from a Christian nation, because America's a Christian nation. I'm going to be okay when the judgment comes because I came from a Christian family, and so therefore I must be a Christian. I don't have a thing to worry about. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. The gospel is a limited time offer, and folks, the sand has just about run out of the hourglass. The New Testament speaks of the age in which we live as the last days. And somebody would say, but it's been 2,000 years. Praise God for His mercy and His patience and His glory, because if He hadn't waited that long, I wouldn't have got saved, and I wouldn't be standing here, but He knows His own. And His elect are in the four corners of the earth. In our Sunday school class, we're studying the Kingdom of Heaven parables and how they relate to the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And we're working on the church at Philadelphia now, and it's the church of the open door. And Jesus said, I've set before you an open door, and nobody can close it. But when I close it, nobody can open it. And you have a little strength, but you've not denied my name. Do you realize that Jesus left us here as ambassadors of Himself? Do you realize that each of us, if we're born again, are priests, and a priest is a matchmaker? Do you realize that we have an opportunity as individuals to tell our families and friends the same thing that somebody cared enough to tell us, that Jesus saves and you're lost and undone, and there is only one way, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody loved you enough, if you're saved, to give you that message. What does Jesus want out of us? The very thing that the church at Ephesus denied him, they began to leave their first love. And the church has been in a downhill spiral ever since. Until there are more tares in the pews than there are wheat. But you don't have to be that way. It's true that we live in the Laodicean age, but this does not have to be a Laodicean church. This can be a Philadelphian church. This can be a church of the open door. That's a decision that we should make, but sometimes we become complacent. Why is America in the trouble that it's in? You know, it would be so easy to blame the politicians. What's that little thing that we were told back in grade school? When we actually studied American history, before it became a bunch of gobbledygook, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or some such thing as that? Don't you dare look at Washington, D.C. and say, they're the problem. Don't you dare look at Washington, D.C. and say, they're the ones that are butchering the babies. Don't you dare look at Washington, D.C. and say, they're the ones that say sodomy is okay. Do you realize that God judges a nation on the basis of the saved people that are in it? If you don't believe me, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. How many righteous? There was only one, but Abraham gave up at 10. I'll bet he wouldn't make that mistake again. Because of one, God had not destroyed it. You realize that there's a whole wide world full of lost people that need to receive the same message that you do? Now, God didn't call all of us to go to Puerto Rico. And just by the by, no, she didn't have that accent when she was 12 years old. Just because we can't go there doesn't mean that somebody isn't supposed to, because Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon, and when He comes, it'll be completely without warning. There are no prophecies left to be fulfilled before Christ comes again. It's called the doctrine of imminency. It means He could come at any time, and the Apostle Paul was looking for Him to come 2,000 years ago. He's still calling out a people for His name. So if we don't want to go, we could at least send somebody. You know, not all of us are called in this world to be ambassadors, but some of our tax proceeds are used to send ambassadors out. Well, all of us are ambassadors for Christ, where we are, and we're given the great privilege of being true yoke fellows with those that would go into the regions beyond us. So often, I'm afraid, those for whom nothing has been prepared. There's still folks getting saved. If you don't believe me, look at China. You've heard about the Christians being persecuted in China? Do you know why most of them are Christians? Because of the work of Hudson Taylor and so many of the others that went out in the age of Philadelphia and planted churches in that country, and the communists haven't been able to overthrow them. Just in case you think that missions doesn't work, God Himself said that His word will not return to Him void. We need to make sure that it gets preached, because Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And when He comes, it'll be quick. Are you saved this morning? That's the main thing. You can't be an ambassador if you're not saved. Are you worried about Jesus coming? Because you've been stirred a time or two, but never changed? What does it take to be saved? You know, it is so simple that people stumble at it. Salvation is by the grace of God. He's already provided that. Through faith, He'll provide that too, if you'll accept it. Salvation is nothing more than believing the record that God has given of His Son. What do you think about Jesus? What think ye of Christ? Well, He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the Son of God and God the Son. He died on the cross that I might be forgiven of my sins. Do you really believe that? If you don't, then you're calling Him a liar, because that's who He said He was. And if you do, you're an ambassador. Are you making use of it? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to thank you this morning that you've provided a salvation for us. You've done for us what we could never do for ourselves, because through religion and the deeds of the law, all of our good works, nobody can be saved. But Lord, you died on that cross. You did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And Lord, all you ask of us is that we just believe you, that we just trust you. And yet, Lord, in our pride and our arrogance, that's the hardest thing for us as lost human beings to do. And yet, Lord, if we'd humble ourselves just for a moment and taste and see that the Lord is good, you'd do all the rest. I pray, Lord, that you'd communicate that to those here this morning that aren't saved, that your Holy Spirit would draw them. And Lord, those that are saved, that we'd start to understand that the time is short. Lord, you're coming and you're coming quickly. If we're going to be ambassadors, today's the day. If we're going to share the ministry of reconciliation, we have to do it now. Lord, press upon us a sense of urgency. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.